Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Because CRT and wokeness is a Marxist system, that means that it is going fundamentally to divide people.
And we're going to speak repentance to all people, doesn't matter who. And we're going to do it whether states say it's legal or not, or whether they confiscate our buildings or throw us out or do what they may do.
If we don't start teaching stewardship from a position of our created identity and our baptismal identity, what we end up with is a destination that is about what we do. It's about legalism. It's about guilt. It's about manipulation.
The small catechism, catechesis of faithfulness to that, I have yet to find a church that extols contemporary worship that has a vigorous program in catechesis.
Colorado trumpet players love Issues Etc.
Some are saying that for all intents and purposes, this Texas fetal heartbeat law is bringing an end to Roe v. Wade. And that's not pro-lifers. That's the advocates for abortion who are saying, say goodbye. In fact, there's even an op-ed in the Washington Post this afternoon, say goodbye to Roe v. Wade, written by someone who's very upset with what Texas lawmakers have done in passing and the Texas governor has done in signing this fetal heartbeat law. Is that true? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of September. We're going to be talking with Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, about the Texas fetal heartbeat law. Then Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will discuss funerals in our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Knew About. Carol Tobias is a regular guest and president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be with you.
What does the Texas law that went into effect today do?
The law says that once the fetal heartbeat, the heartbeat of an unborn child has been detected or can be detected, abortion is not allowed. And that's the short answer. They have come up with a great way of enforcing the law using civil lawsuits from private citizens. It's quite an amazing law, a new twist that I'm sure is going to have some judges scratching their heads for a while.
It's being called an abortion ban. Is it a ban?
Well, if you would say that not allowing abortions after roughly 6 weeks is a ban, then I guess it would. I think the better way to understand it is that once babies in Texas have developed to the point where their heart is beating approximately 6 weeks after conception, then they will be protected. Not that it's a ban, but they will be protected.
Do we know where abortion drugs fit into this legal framework?
Well, the FDA for years had said that abortion drugs should not be used after the 7th week of pregnancy. But then under pressure from the abortion industry, they expanded it to say 10 weeks. Well, if the abortion pill, the chemical pill, is provided before the heartbeat is detected, you know you're pregnant before the heartbeat can be detected, then, you know, the chemical abortion can be the process used. However, if the heartbeat has been detected, it isn't going to matter if it's a surgical abortion procedure or the chemical / medication drugs being used, that they would not be allowed.
So why is it important to have this authorization for a private civil right of action in this law?
This is where I think the Texas law is quite brilliant. There have been cases over the years where abortionists are charged with doing something wrong, you know, harming a woman, you know, whatever the case may be. Maybe they broke some law. But it's very difficult to get a jury to convict him. It's difficult to get a medical board to withdraw his or her medical license. So criminal penalties, administrative penalties have not always worked. This is an effort to say that civil penalties would be assessed if an abortionist kills an unborn child after the heartbeat has been detected. And what is so unusual about this law is that the state of Texas, whether it's the Attorney General, the Health Department, the Medical Board, they have no standing to enforce this law. The private citizens can go to court and file a civil complaint against an abortionist or someone who aided an abortionist or someone who worked for the abortionist. They can go to that person, that site, to court and file a civil complaint against them. And if it has been determined that, yes, an abortion was carried out after the heartbeat has been detected, the person that filed the complaint can be awarded $10,000. Now, maybe a criminal penalty is hard to convict the abortionist on, but how many of them are going to keep killing unborn children if they know that every time they do, at least after the heartbeat has been detected, every time they do an abortion, someone can come back at them and get a $10,000 award or reward, quite frankly, for filing the suit, plus attorney's fees. So not a lot of abortionists are going to go through that. The abortion providers are going to say it's not worth it, and they will leave Texas. Also, what we have seen in state after state after state, when they pass pro-life laws, when they try to protect the babies, of course, the abortion industry and their allies, Planned Parenthood, ACLU, whoever it might be, will go to court and they file a lawsuit against the Attorney General and the Health Department to say you can't enforce this law because it goes against Roe v. Wade. Well, here, the abortion providers have nobody that they can file a lawsuit against. They can't say that the Attorney General is going to stop their practice because the Attorney General doesn't have the authority to do anything in this law. And that's one of the reasons that the lawsuit that was filed against this case or this law ran into some problems with the Fifth Circuit, because there really is nobody that they can charge. They can't say that we are going to be harmed because the state of Texas is going to prevent us from doing our job, you know, of keeping our business going. They don't know. I mean, if an abortion provider is in a place where nobody is going to complain and they're willing to look the other way, they can keep doing the abortions. It's only if someone is going to file a complaint, which, of course, there are pro-lifers who are going to do it. But it's going to be very unusual. They can't go after the state. They just have to wait for some individuals to come after them. And is it worth it for them to take that risk?
What have we learned about the U.S. Supreme Court in the time since the governor signed SB 8 into law and its opponents attempted to get the Supreme Court to stop its implementation?
I don't know that we've learned a whole lot more about the court. This did go to the court, and I don't know if it was, you know, the Supreme Court has different regions of the country that they are in charge of, different states. Well, Texas is under the jurisdiction of Justice Samuel Alito. So he was the one that would have heard an emergency appeal asking that this law not go into effect. And I don't know if Alito made that decision himself or if he went to the full court and they made that decision. It might be something that he just said, no, let it play out and we'll see what happens. So other than that, I don't know that there's been any real indication from the court that this is going to impact how they rule on Mississippi, or that's not giving us any real clues as to what they might do.
So review that the Mississippi law situation that the court is actually going to hear within a couple weeks. What is that law again?
The Mississippi law says that abortions are not allowed after 15 weeks, which is just a little bit later than Texas, but it's still something similar, although that would be the state enforcing the law against the abortion providers. The Supreme Court decided that they will take the case, but they are only going to rule on one question. Are states allowed to stop abortion or protect unborn babies before viability? Now, viability changes. You know, it was 28, 26 weeks. Now it's down to 22 weeks. Occasionally you will hear babies younger than that surviving. So can states protect babies before viability? And we really just don't know what the court is going to do. They could certainly completely overturn Roe v. Wade. They could say, yes, states can protect babies before viability, or I don't think that they are going to go farther and say absolutely not. We really don't know.
So give us just a little quick review. What other pro-life state-level legislation have we seen passed recently?
The most recent is another one actually in Texas. The legislature passed it. It is on its way to the governor, and it would not allow chemical abortion drugs to be sent to abortion-seeking women through the mail. And, there's more to it than that. I mean, the abortion providers who want to do the chemical abortions would have to be certified and be on a list so that they can prescribe the pills. But one of the biggest obstacles would be that they could not send abortion pills through the mail, which I think would be a great thing, because too many women are going to be doing do-it-yourself at-home abortions, and this is a dangerous process. That the more restrictions we can place on the chemical drug, the safer it will be for mothers and their babies.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. You'll find a link to National Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Carol, thank you and keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller will be with us on the other side of the break on this Wednesday, September the 1st, part 15 of our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Knew About. And today we'll talk about funerals.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Ad Crucem is seeking 30 partners in a project to acquire 10 high-resolution historical images to beautify our homes and churches. The participants will receive all 10 images printed on museum-quality canvas. Some artists being considered are the Cranachs, Dürer, Tintoretto, van Eyck, Ossawa Tanner, and Caravaggio. To be part of this exciting project, go to our artwork page on adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.